Praise the Lord. Wilt thou leave thy sins and go to heaven, or have thy sins and go to hell? This is a quote from Pilgrim's Progress, a memoir of John Bunyan, on page 6 of the 700 Club edition, University Press, 1978. Now, Mary got this book yesterday, and she was reading it to me as we were driving home and reading this part. And this quote stood out. Wilt thou leave thy sins and go to heaven, or have thy sins and go to hell? He goes on to state that when John Bunyan heard these words spoken to him through the Spirit, it made a change in his life. From what I understand, he was quite the character at one point in his life, especially in his youth. But he had a change that came into his life when he realized that he was going to have to leave his sins if he was going to heaven. And if he didn't leave his sins, he was going to hell. And a lot of people don't want to hear about hell today. You know, it's the forbidden word. They'll use all kinds of other quote-unquote four-letter words, but they want to stay away from that one because I think deep down inside it begins to convict them a little bit when they hear it. Well, I thought Larry was going to get into my message there during prayer. But there's a new best-selling book by evangelical megachurch pastor Rob Bell. And he claims that the turn or burn approach to Christianity, which claims people have to accept Jesus or face an eternity burning in hell, is wrong. Now, he's not the first one to come along in recent years that has claimed this, that really, you know, everybody's going to heaven, whether they like it or not, but they're going to go. And it's kind of something that's just come up again in the last few years in our lifetime, but it is not something that has not been approached over times in the past. And even one of the early quote-unquote church fathers, Origen of Alexandria, a 13th century writer, claimed that everyone, including the devil, eventually is saved. You know what I don't understand, and I've told you in the past about a particular book that's being promoted that has nothing to do with universalism, which is what we're talking about here, that everyone's going to heaven irregardless. But there's a book out about things that you didn't know were in the Bible. And I noticed that the author of this particular book is promoting a doctrine which is common to the Jehovah's Witnesses group, that of soul sleep. And he uses a couple of scriptures, or one scripture, to promote his belief in this, and totally ignores a number of other scriptures that teach otherwise. And so these people who get into universalism, they'll find a scripture that they can kind of tweak a little bit to benefit their cause, and they'll ignore all the scriptures that say otherwise. Yesterday, as we had our church fellowship, and Larry had Bible Jeopardy, and one of the questions had to do with about how many books were in the Bible, and he had it also in there how many chapters there were, how many words there were, and there's a lot that are in there. But a lot of people want to just pick and choose of those words what they want to hear. Well, what does Yahweh God himself have to say about this? In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, again that's 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, he says, "But among the people there were also false prophets, just as there will be false teachers among you, under false pretenses they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and thus bringing on themselves swift destruction. Damnable heresies. You see, if this doctrine of universalism, which so many people are wanting to accept right now and believe in because it relieves them in their thinking that, hey, I can do whatever I want and I can still go to heaven. If that is the case, that everyone's going to heaven anyway, then it was a total waste for Jesus to come and die on the cross for our sins, because it wasn't needed, if universalism be the case. They want to ignore that. In fact, as we were discussing earlier, if this be the case, why do we even need the church and why do we need pastors? If it were so, we wouldn't need them either. So, Mr. Bell, I suggest to you that you might ought to think about this, because you might be out of a job if it's the case. God goes on to say in 1 John 4:1, "Dear friends, don't trust every spirit. On the contrary, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." The Bible warns us in numerous places that in these days, and I think everyone, even those who don't claim to be Christians, even those who don't set foot in a church, but may still believe that there is a God, will tell you that they think we are living in the last days. If they've even heard anything about that, they will say, yes, I think we're living in the last days. Even science tells us we are living in the last days. Well, he warns us that in these last days there will be those who go out preaching and teaching these false doctrines. So we're not to just accept everything that we hear from a so-called preacher. We need to verify it. We need to measure it up against what the Word of God has to say. But too many times we listen, if it sounds good, we'll go with it, whether there's scriptural backing for it or not. Well, what's one thing out in the world they tell you? If it looks too good to be true, it's not. Well, some of these doctrines that they want to teach, they look really good, but are they really true? Some of them aren't. We've got to measure them up by the gold standard, and the gold standard is God's Word. It's this Bible. It's what's written in here that we measure it by, and if it doesn't measure up with what's in here, then it's wrong. Now, I know that you can take this Bible, and if you want to, you can take a piece here and a piece here and a piece here, and you can make it say anything you want it to say. But you've got to measure up with what it says in the context it was said in. But no, a lot of people don't want to do that. Well, here's a response to Mr. Origen of Alexandria, although he's been deceased for a number of years. I still want to respond to him, because he said even the devil would be saved, but that's not what the Word of God says. And he had this same word that we have in his day. Revelation 20:10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." My question is, what part of forever and ever does he not comprehend? That means it's not going to end. And that's what God's Word has to say. It's going to take place. And I know some folks will say, well, you can go back to the Greek and you can do this and you can do that. And we can twist this and we can twist that. And the word for lake is limne, which means a pond, large or a small, large or small or a lake. That's figuratively the word. It means a lake. The word fire in Greek, spelled P-Y-R, pronounced poor, literally means fiery fire. Something that's going to burn. And of course, brimstone, theon, means sulfur. It's there. It's what it says. Those are the words. Revelations chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, go on to say, give you a second there. Revelations chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what God's word has to say. There's no arguing with that point. That's what it says. It's going to take place. That day of judgment is coming. And I know some will argue this or that. Well, they were really a good person. Why would God condemn them to this for all of eternity if they were such a good person? God has given them a chance. Accept Jesus, go to heaven, no question about it. Forsake their sins and go to heaven, or stay in their sins, go to hell. That choice has been given every individual. And it says here, though, when we read it, and the dead will stand before God, both small and great. People who were good people and people who were bad people. But they didn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they stand before God, and it says they will be judged out of these books according to their works. How God does this and what exactly He does is up to God. But it says they're going to be judged. Now, what about Christians? The one they've stood before, which is for their crowns, for their rewards, has already taken place. Christians are not in the picture here that's being talked about. These are the people who never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it says that when all is said and done, they will be cast into that lake of fire which burneth forever and ever. Death, hell, the grave, no matter which Greek Hebrew word you want to use in there, cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. I know some say that, well, when Jesus was talking here, he was referring to Gehenna, which is a valley in Jerusalem, which was essentially a garbage dump, and the fire burned there continually. Well, you know, when you read the scriptures and you read what Jesus said, he spoke of literal things and used them to point out to them, to give them insight into what he was talking about. They knew that that Gehenna, that valley there, that garbage dump burned constantly. That fire was not being put out. It burned day and night, week after week, month after month, year after year. And it's something that came to their mind, and it was very descriptive of what was going to happen. And when he said, this Gehenna is what you're going into. It's going to burn forever. Made a point to them. Jesus went on to say in John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These were the words that the Messiah himself uttered. There is no other way. The only way you come to the Father is through me. You don't get in through the back door. You don't get pulled in on somebody's coattails. You have to come through me. He said, I am the way. It's a primary word meaning road, indicating a progress, a route, an act or distance. Figuratively, a mode or means, a journey. I am the means. I am the highway. That's it. No other way to get there. I am the route. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 goes on to tell us that by two immutable things in which it was impossible. What does impossible mean? It means it can't happen. Now, I know there's some things that we say are impossible, and, you know, we use a term and then it can be done, you know. But impossible in its basic meaning is it cannot happen. It cannot take place. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set forth before us. What does it say here? It is impossible for God to lie. So if you want to go ahead and say some of these things that are being taught today, then you're going against what's in the Word of God, and you have made God a liar. There's a lot of people out there today trying to make God a liar because they don't like what he had to say. It goes on. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This is not something that just happened 2,000 years ago. It says, before the world began. God cannot lie. Yet we want to make him a liar. Well, God, your word says this, but no, that's not right. You know. We're also told in the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He said, God's not a man. Men lie. Women lie. Sometimes we lie even unawares. Have you ever told something that you believed to be the truth? Found out later it wasn't. In essence, you lied. You may have done it unintentionally. And sometimes you are told something in your job, especially. Well, you tell them this, and you know that it's not the truth. I had to go to a supervisor one time at a job that I was working at and tell her, look, I'm having problems telling these people this because it's what we as a company are supposed to be doing for our customer, and I'm telling them the company line, but I know down inside my heart we're not going to do it. I said, I feel like I'm lying to them, and I don't think I can keep doing this. God cannot lie. What he says will happen, it will take place, and there's no doubt about it. The word goes on to say, speaking of a time of rebellion, as the Antichrist appears. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Again, that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and we're going to stay in there for a while. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So we're getting this false doctrine that's being taught. And I understand especially a lot of younger people are falling for this doctrine because, hey, it sounds good. I can live my life however I want to, and I'm still going to go to heaven. So they grasp it. Many of them don't know any better, especially people who are just coming into the church maybe or just finding out about the things of God. And somebody tells them, well, it really doesn't matter because we're all going to heaven anyway. It's real encouragement to live a godly life, isn't it? Do whatever you want. You're going to heaven anyway. But it says, let no man deceive you. For that day, speaking of the last days, shall not come except there come a falling away first. And we're seeing people after people falling away for these doctrines. That the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Going down then to verse 10 through 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send among them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, going back a moment to those that are standing in that judgment, that great white throne judgment. It says it pulls out by their works. Means they're being judged by what they did. And those who deceive, those who preach this heresy, I'm firmly convinced by God's word that their judgment's going to be harsh. The Bible tells us it will be. That those who deceive and those that cause others to fall away, that their judgment's going to be harsh and severe. I think we're living in that day. We're living in those last days. We talk about the world situation, and we don't even know what's changed in that situation just in the time we have been here in this sanctuary this morning. Great changes could have taken place. We've seen catastrophe and disasters take place. We think about the earthquake and tsunami in Japan that created such destruction. This is kind of a trivial thing, but really just to kind of show you how it's going to affect you and I. Did you know that that pretty color that you want on that next car you buy may not be available now? Did you know if you have a special paint job on your car and it gets messed up, it can't be repainted? Possibly. Because the only place that made one of the ingredients that go into some of these special paints was destroyed. That's just a minor thing is how it affects us. It's reaching out to all the world. And these things that the Bible talks about that will transpire in the last days are taking place. As we close today, I don't and never have claimed to be a prophet. But I'm going to tell you now, just as sure as I believe God's word is true, that the events that we're seeing taking place in the Middle East over these past few weeks and in the days ahead are not about overthrowing evil or crazed dictators or leaders to establish democracy. And that's what they're trying to tell us. We want to get them out so we can put in democracy. Yeah, so we can elect that other one who's going to be even worse. But to prepare the way for the coming of that one who's spoken in the Bible as the Antichrist, or in the world of Islam as the Mahdi or the 12th Imam. We are seeing it set up. We're seeing it set up that we're a large portion of the world is getting themselves ready, that they will be willing to accept that one who would come forth and say, I can bring you peace. I can bring you security. I can bring you prosperity. The preparations are being made. The day is at hand. So come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. And if you're listening to me today over the internet, by CD or by some other means, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today you have that choice as John Bunyan made so many years ago when he heard the words spoken to him. Will you leave your sins and go to heaven? Or will you have your sins and go to hell? The decision is yours. God has made a way of escape. He has already, through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, paid the price for your sins. All you have to do is accept it and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I accept that atoning work that you did on the cross of Calvary. I accept that you paid the penalty for my sin on that cross. Come into my heart right now, I pray, in Jesus' name. I encourage you to pray that prayer today and ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, For he says, At the acceptable time I heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Today is the day of salvation. Father, I just pray now that you would speak to hearts and lives that have heard this message today. And Father, that you will help them to grasp the truth of your word, Father, not to listen to false teachers and false doctrine that's being put out abundantly, Father, even on bestseller lists, Father. Speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.